But yeah, I really appreciate you hopping on here. I was really excited to see you coming through Daryl's.
We played at Daryl's house the day after the election. It's a show I will not forget for a lot of reasons. People were crying.
Yeah.
It was a very powerful show. And the people that run Daryl's house, they said, this is one of the best shows we've ever had here. Can you come back quick?
Awesome.
And, you know, when you do a show in a venue like Daryl's house, it's kind of like, not everything works because it's like a seated venue. It really works for our thing.
Yeah.
I can do a show in kind of any scenario. I'll play in your backyard. I'll play in your garage. I'll play in a theater. But it's a cool room. And I felt like the walls were shaking when we played there. Because I feel like a lot of the music they have there is probably quieter.
Mm-hmm.
We were really rocking that place. So I'm really looking forward to this show.
Yeah. Did you go like full, like balls to the wall for that show? Or was, I mean, just the energy must have been bizarre.
But, you know, that's what creates sort of like these special moments when, how do I put this? Like, the best thing you can do is exceed expectations. So people walk in a room and they have a sort of idea of how the evening's going to go. And if you can exceed that, you know, you can make a real magic trick. And so I think that was a night people were coming in with all their emotions. And maybe they thought that it was going to be like a quieter kind of dinner theater thing. And we really blew the doors off the place. And people needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a low cut Connie show is kind of the perfect place to be to process your feelings about, you know, the current slide of the country into fascism, because, you know, you've never shied away from talking about it, from singing about it, from, you know, taking stands on it. Like the Kennedy Center thing recently, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually really honored to be asked to play at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, of course.
That's like one of those things that you hope maybe you get to do once. And what I was really excited about was that I was asked to perform as part of this diversity series. It was this thing called Social Impact. And it was a series of performances that they felt the artists were promoting positive social change.
Mm-hmm.
And the words diversity and inclusion were in the sort of mission statement.
Yeah.
And, I was really honored because, you know, I'm a little weird rock and roll band, you know, and like the fact that they felt that I amplify positive social change, amplify diversity and inclusion, make people feel included in my music and my shows, that means a lot to me. So I was very excited to do it. And there's not much more to the story other than to say I heard the news about the changes at the Kennedy Center like everyone else did through Truth Social, you know. And once he that shall not be named, you know, he said that he was going to he wanted to become the chairman. He said, I think I should become the chairman. And they started firing the board members. I called my agent. I said, I'm really sorry. I can't do this show. The point of doing this show is to be part of this social impact series, amplifying diversity. The institution has changed. I know there's a lot of really good people who work there. I feel bad for them. But I said, I'm not gonna do my show there. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be what I want it to be.
It felt disingenuous at that point.
Yeah, although I will say there were a number of artists that have performed there and used their performances as protests, and I very much respect that. For me, it just wasn't going to go down right. Like, I need to make sure that I'm performing in a safe space where my audience feels safe, right? In fact, I'm working with this organization for my upcoming tours this year. It's all about helping music venues become safe spaces for people.
Awesome.
So it's how to prepare It's the Western States Center, and they do this initiative. It's all about bars and restaurants and third spaces, helping them prepare for danger, helping them prepare for ICE coming in, helping them prepare for white supremacist groups coming in or hitting up their social media or website. And it's all about trying to make third spaces safe spaces for people, right? So when I get on stage, I want my audience to feel chill. I want them to feel safe in the place. And so we're working with that organization to try to do that throughout this year. And it's sad to say, but the Kennedy Center is becoming not a safe space
Yeah.
for everyone, you know? So I wrote this little, simple little explanation as to why I canceled the show. And I was shocked as anybody that my little statement went so viral. I really think it's just because yes, I was the first artist to cancel that day, but I think it was really like the fact that I wrote this longer explanation, whereas some of the other artists wrote like one sentence. And man, it went, BBC and France and Germany and Japan and all of New York Times, Washington Post. So,
I wonder if there's always kind of going to be this political connection with Low Cut Connie, not just because, a lot of the songs that you write are overtly political, but also because kind of the thing that launched you into the mainstream was the inclusion on the Obama playlist. So I wonder if, people hear Low Cut Connie and think, president. And like, what are they
maybe.
going to say, and what are they thinking about the government?
Yeah, maybe. And also I during the pandemic when I did my Tough Cookies live stream, I mean, I spoke every week about issues. I mean, we did a shiva for Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the show. I mean, I was asked to perform as part of the Biden inauguration. I mean, like, people knew where I stood and know where I stand, but I've always prided myself on keeping my conservative fans at the table. Much like my hero, Bruce Springsteen. I grew up in New Jersey in the 80s. So, like, I watched him and have continued to watch him keep his conservative fans at the table. I've been to concerts. Like years ago when Giuliani was the mayor of New York and Bruce sang and talked about police brutality and all the NYPD turned their back to the stage. And of course, two songs later, they were dancing, you know. I watched how he navigated that. I really always respected that. And I've tried to do that myself. And what's amazing is how diverse my fan base has remained. I've gotten a lot of blowback for my new song, Living in the USA. A number of people have said, we're done with you and we're done following you, which is funny because the song is very broad and not very specific,
And
you
it's
know.
funny that that's the breaking point, like after, 2020, Look What They Did was another one. And,
Yeah.
just everything that you've always stood for. And it's funny that this is the moment that they're like, no, this song is a bridge too far.
Yeah, and it's just a very broad song about fear, you know, of what's coming.
Yeah. And about feeling displaced in the place where you were born and grew up.
Yeah. And it's this is the these are the times we live in, and everything is supercharged.
Yeah.
And I keep doing my thing. Look, we did a free concert last week in the park in New Jersey. We had like 1,000 to 1,500 people there. And when you do those free concerts, you get people from all walks of life that come, right? And I was amazed. We did our show. I did Living in the USA in the middle, and people stuck with it.
And yeah,
Oh,
and
there.
I'm sure that there were people in the crowd who didn't necessarily agree with the message, but I mean, I'm with you 100% on keeping conservative fans at the table. You know, I've always tried to stress, you know, I'm sure I bug some people with some of the things I say on the radio sometimes, but like my message is always like the common people of America, we are not enemies, you know, like we're just we're being kind of manufactured to fight amongst ourselves to distract us from the real problem, which is the top to bottom divide, not the left to right divide. So, you know, I've had neighbors who politically disagreed with me and, you know, flew their flags proudly, but I was still a neighbor to them, you know, and still would like wave hi and we'd pet each other's dogs and, you know, like we're all just working class Americans as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I mean, this isn't even about Republican, Democrat, or whatever. This is we're all under siege.
Yeah.
Some communities are much more under siege than others, but are just the founding principles and what America is, what our values are under siege. I travel all over this country. I play rural, urban, and people are pissed. People are scared. People are pissed. And it doesn't really matter. I have fans, Democrats, Republican, Independent, nothing, you know, and I don't seek to write music for an echo chamber. I don't get off on people agreeing with me either. I really just want to put on shows and put out music that resonates with people in one way or another.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you're always succeeding at that. And you know, I've tried to kind of stress to my listeners who maybe haven't seen the show before just what a dynamic live show it is and, you know, like what an experience it is. And I you know, I if folks haven't seen Low Cut Connie's live show before, they might not know what to expect, but I mean, it's you are a performer first and foremost, I think, right?
I mean, yeah, like, look, you know, people have a lot of choices. They could sit home and doom scroll. They could sit home and watch, you know, Project Runway reruns on Netflix. They could read. They could do a million things. If they're gonna spend their hard-earned money and come to see a concert, I want them to leave walking on air. I want them to leave feeling like that was one of the best nights of my life. I want people to remember it and to have a feeling that they carry with them into the next day and
Yeah.
beyond. And people, they don't remember the specifics. They don't remember necessarily if you sang the right note or this song or that song or what the weather was or how long it was. Well, all they remember is how you make them feel. That's all they remember. When you think about the best concerts that you've ever gone to or the best live performances you've ever gone to, what sticks with you is how you felt. And so that's my job, is to really make people feel something.
Yeah. Do you ever, is it hard going into the shows? Is there ever a night where you're like just not sure you're feeling it? And then, you know, if there is, like, does it, like, how does it kind of come out while you're on stage? Like, I guess first question, does that ever happen? And second question, if it does, like, how do you kind of process that and get through that?
Well, not every day of your job is the best day of your job. There's days when I'm sick. There's days when my voice is not in great shape or I'm injured or whatever. But, you know, I don't operate on inspiration. Maybe other artists do, but I don't feel like I can't sit around and wait to feel inspired to go make something or do a show. I have a job to do, and I'm all about work ethic. Punch the clock, do the job. You know, I remember I've seen Patti Smith perform a bunch of times, and I've been fortunate to be on the same bill with her on an event. And she always says, She always calls it a job, and she happens to have grown up in the same part of New Jersey I grew up, so maybe it's a Jersey thing. Like, all right, we got to go. We're going to be do going to do a job over in England, and then we're going to do the job over in Italy, and then we come back and do a job over at Carnegie Hall, do the job. And I'm from the old school. I remember hanging out when I first started doing this, and we would open up for really old artists. We used to do these oldies package shows and stuff, and hear people say, "Oh, you've been working?" That's the school I come from, is like, they called James Brown the hardest working man in show business for a reason. It's work. Let's work. And that's my job. And I have to assess the tools I have that day. Maybe where's my voice at? Where's my body at? Where's my mind? And see how good a show I can put on with the tools that I have on that particular day.
Yeah, great answer. Usually I would be doing the 98.1 KZE blah 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 drop-ins, but I'm like off my game because we're on Zoom. So let me just throw in that we're chatting with Adam Wiener from Low Cut Connie, and they are playing at Daryl's house this Sunday at June 15th. Not sure what time. Do you know what time? Doors and show and all that.
You can find all that information at lowcutconnie.com. They do start early there. Get there early, get a good seat.
Is it first come, first serve? Is that how it works there?
I don't have a clue. I only do about 80 shows a year, so sometimes it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
Some shows are at 8, some are at 11,
Is
some
that
are at 2
true?
in the morning.
You only do about 80 shows a year? I feel like you're constantly on the road.
Well, 80 is a lot. If you think about 80 shows, when you factor in the travel days, that's actually like 140 days of travel a year.
That is true. That's almost half the year.
And I'm not counting the shows that I do online and all the other projects that I do. But yeah, I'm on stage about 80 times a year.
Well, before I let you get back to the rest of your life, do you have anything else you'd like us to know about? Any exciting Patreon things happening that we can help out with?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're doing my Tough Cookies shows. I am doing peppered in throughout the year. They're free, but I also am doing a ton of meet and greets, performances, and these group therapy sessions that have been hysterical and very powerful through my Patreon, patreon.com/lowcutconnie. It's a beautiful community of weird people. all are welcome. And I'm recording a lot. I've got a lot of new music coming. Couple things this year, but then big album coming next year, and a lot of exciting things happening. So I'm very proud and grateful to be doing this. This is going into this is the 14th year of Low Cut Connie. I never thought I'd still be doing this, but now I just want to keep it going and do as good a job as I can do.
Hell yeah. Low Cut Connie, this Sunday at Daryl's. The Connie Live album is out now. Art Dealers was the last studio album before that, also a fantastic record. And the new single, Living in the USA, which will be spinning on KZE, so you'll hear it here.
You're listening to KZE because you are smart and you got good taste.